Well, we are coming almost to the end of our series on the mission of Grandview Covenant Church. It's a fairly simple one. It's three words, as you see there: worship, grow, and live. Which means worshiping God, knowing God, and praising Him, praying, and proclaiming who He is. Growing in Christ, growing in His Word, and reflecting that in our time, our talents, and our treasure. And last week we started talking about living by the Spirit in a God-centered community, His church, loving, caring, and sharing Jesus Christ with others. It doesn't fail whenever I bring someone new from our farmer home here. There's observations they make as far as what it's like here. And last year, almost to the day at the threshing bee, I shared some contrast between the West Coast metropolitan area of Seattle and here, and enjoyed some of the humorous items. But one thing I didn't talk about too much was in all my family as they came, it's not so much the rural areas, but the small towns, within the small towns. They said, wow, the lawns, the yards are all kept up so nice. And by the way, thank you. I believe the Dieters have been working in the cemetery and around our church. Thank you for being the cut-ups with the lawn. I appreciate that. And the kids, that's right. Actually, one was featured in Facebook this week for his cutting abilities, Blake. And so they talk about that. But the other thing more noticeable to me was, in the towns, there's no fences in the yards. There's no fences. And I haven't figured out if it's a West Coast, the Middle America thing, or if it's just the larger city to the small town thing. And there isn't no fences. Actually, in the beginning, it was a little uncomfortable for Beth and I as we moved just outside the city limits of Larchwood that all the yards are just open. Everybody's just, it's wide open. Almost felt vulnerable for a while until I got used to it, and now I kind of like it. Well, today we're going to be discussing living by God's Spirit and being empowered to love and to care for others. You know, it can be a tough challenge sometimes, but generally speaking, at least for me, it's easier to care and love the people I know, the people I choose to. Well, today we're going to talk about caring and helping, yes, those we love and know, but also, maybe more challenging, those we don't know anything about, those we have no idea who they are, as we look to help them. My personal education in this one was quite notable on this topic. I was an associate pastor in a large church in an urban setting, and we would get countless people, I mean like sometimes a dozen a day, knocking on our door, needing assistance. Well, I was put in charge of them. And it just made sense to me to, well, I can't help everybody a humongous amount, so if I could help everybody just a little bit with the resources of our congregation, I wanted to do that. These were just about always people from outside of our church, people who were down and out. And I really wanted to help them as much as I could. God would want me to be generous, wouldn't He? Maybe He'd want me to. He'd want me to help the poor wherever I could. And the Apostle Paul himself was very excited to do that. It says in Galatians 2, 9, and 10, they encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I've always been eager to do. What I learned, however, that just to flippantly give out money or help the poor was confusing. It was hard in some ways. One of the things I did, I had made arrangements with a grocery store to give out cards, like $25 grocery cards or $50 grocery cards. That would help people, and so I would make use of that. It seemed like a great plan to me. Does it seem like a great plan to you? Seems reasonable, helping people with food and the needs they have. I thought it was a good plan. About 3 months into it, The general manager of the grocery store, who I'd become acquainted with, came to me and he said, "Richard, I don't know if you know this, but your cards are being sold on the black market for cash." Meaning people were getting the cards and turning around and selling them for cash so they could get drugs. There's a lot of drugs in the community. I was devastated. I thought, what a bunch of scoundrels, rascals, if you will. They were taking advantage of me personally in our church's generosity, and frankly, I got really mad. Not only did I get mad, I developed an attitude, a bad attitude in helping people. I started trying to listen more intently as I interviewed people and talked to them, to try to figure out if they were legit or if they were tricking me. It was a challenge discerning the truth. I became very sensitive to whether people were really trying to scam me in the church I represented. Instead of feeling generous and positive about helping people, again, people we had no idea who they were, I became extremely suspicious and overly cautious in helping anyone. I just wondered, are they trying to game the system? Are they trying to trick me? I felt an obligation to be a good steward. The problem with the bad attitude, of course it's obvious, was there were some folks who were legitimate. They really had needs. And I realized that my idea of being overly generous, lazy almost as I help people, or being paranoid about whether they were scamming or not, was helping no one. I really struggled. And I appreciated the Lord softening my heart, helping me to understand through His Spirit that people, everybody, was different and unique to themselves. They each had their own story. They each had their own journey they were on. They each had their own situation. And I really needed to lean into the Spirit's wisdom, into the Spirit's discernment as I listened to Him, as I sought truth, as I looked to discern who they were. So how do we love and care for people? It was interesting to me as I studied this subject and I looked up every verse on poor or those in need, a number of different word searches I did, how often, whenever it talked about helping the poor, it also talked about sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. That verse we just read just a little bit ago, it even had it there. In Galatians 2, 9 and 10, they encourage us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I've always been eager to do. They wanted us to keep sharing the good news, but they also wanted us to help the poor. Another verse from Matthew 4, 23, we see Jesus Himself. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. Jesus was out there helping those strangers around Him He didn't even know. Now, I have been part of numerous churches in my life. I've seen churches that are so externally focused. Their mission, and it's not that it's a bad mission, is to help the poor, to take care of those needs. But I have seen it sometimes where they're so into that, they totally forget about Jesus Christ. They're into feeding people, housing people, finding clothes for them. Oh yeah, we recognize Jesus Christ, but we wouldn't want to burden anybody with that truth. I've just seen externally focused churches become so imbalanced that they forget Jesus' plan and God's plan for salvation. I mean, the whole main reason Jesus Christ came to earth is to take care of our eternity. If we're going to help people, we should not just help their immediate need, but also their eternal need as well. basically the bottom line is we need to do both. We need to help them, even sometimes at the risk of being scammed. Which brings us to our story today, the Good Samaritan. Probably one of the most popular stories in all the Bible. Luke 10. The story starts out with an expert of the law, a religious leader, a man seeking to actually trip up Jesus. He asks him, "Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus, as he often does, answers with a question himself. He says simply to this religious expert, "What does God say?" The man was, he knew his scriptures. It says in Luke 10, 27 and 28, the man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." Of course, the religious leader couldn't be satisfied with that. He had to ask him, "So, who do you consider as my neighbor?" The man obviously wanted to justify himself to only take care of his friends, his people, people he chose to take care of. He didn't want to care for people that he didn't want to be around. He didn't want to care for people like the Samaritans who were half-breeds. He didn't want to care for them at all. That would be offensive to him. So Jesus deals with him by telling him this story. In Luke 10:30 in the NLT, it says, "A Jewish man started out on a trek from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a rough 20-mile hike with lots of jagged rocks, steep hills, many caves around to hide bad guys, bandits in the area." I thought I'd show a couple pictures in just so you can see the area. You can see this is literally on the trail from Jerusalem to Jericho. And we can go to the next one. You can see it's just rocks. There's lots of little hiding places there. Not a lot of water, not a lot of vegetation. And it's about 20 miles long. The smarter way to go, of course, is downhill than uphill. But the route in that day had a reputation for travelers being robbed, being beaten up, and even killed at times. On this route, walking alone, this Jewish man was attacked, he was beaten, and he was left for dead. And we have the story of these three men that are going to be passing by. The first two men, one being a priest in the Jewish faith, the other being a temple worker, they go out of their way to avoid the guy. They go to the other side of the trail. They don't want to get close. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to deal with him at all. But the third man's different. But the third man happens to be from Samaria. Remember, this group north of Jerusalem, they actually had their own capital, their own region. They were part ancestors of the Jewish race, but they had mixed in with others, and they had their own temple, their own mountain to worship. You might remember when we talked about the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. It would not be good for any good Jew to associate with a Samaritan. So here is this Samaritan man himself. He comes upon this beaten up man, probably close to dead, and he takes compassion on him. Compassion, and he shows him mercy. He attends to his wound. He takes the man onto his own donkey and brings him to an inn for safety. And then he leaves money for that innkeeper to take care of him. And he says, "I'll come back in a few days. And if he incurs any other bills, I'll take care of those as well." At the end of the story, Jesus turns to that religious leader and says, "Who do you say was the neighbor to this man?" And in Luke 10:37, the man simply says, he replies, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, go and do the same." This is a wonderful story. And it shares the heart of Jesus Christ and how we should care, how we should even love those that are in trouble, those that are in need. There's many hospitals named after the Good Samaritan. I bet if you took non-Christians even and asked them for a story from the Bible, they might know or be aware of this one. It's a wonderful example in Scripture of caring for people. And as Christians, we should hear the message loud and very clear. We're told in Matthew 5:13-16 that as Christians, we should have influence. We should even be bold as we help people, as we share the gospel. I'll read those verses. It talks about our influence. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. One thing's very clear in Scripture. We need to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. With God's Holy Spirit empowering us, we need to tell others about His message of love and care for today and for eternity, whenever and wherever we can. You know, you might not ever find someone alongside the road beat up and in trouble. You might. Chances are you won't. But you might find someone in our fellowship time by themselves that you could go talk to, that you could befriend. You might come across someone in your own neighborhood that you hear about needs help. I was torn a little bit by that last passage, because it says, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Because, see, I see a real value in being private. I see lots of people in this church at times help people when no one's looking. They just do it. And that's very noble. But it also, we need to influence people. We need them to see that God can care through us to people. So, be humble. But also don't be ashamed to let others know that you're helping people, that you're looking to make opportunities available. And it might be just a listening ear to someone you run into or a friend you casually know. There's so many things. It does not have to be hard. You could serve at the food giveaway. I'm able to do that once a month. You're more than welcome to join me, where we literally hand out food to those in our community from all around. Now, sometimes I worry, are they scamming us? Are they going through the line twice? Let's give them food if they need food. Another way to help is doing a random act of kindness. How many of you have heard that? Where you just choose somebody and you go help them effectively as possible. And if you don't know about that, you could seek out Leanne. Leanne's sitting back by the organ there where she led the music and helped us back there on the organ today. She heads up the team of random acts of kindness, the RAC team as we call it, to how can we bless people in our community? Not necessarily Christians at all, but people who need help. Our church actually budgets money to take care of those needs. So I'm going to end our discussion today with three simple verses that share just some of the values that God has. The first one we've talked about, Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself. James 1:27, this one's dear to my heart, look after orphans and widows in their distress. In Micah 6:8, to act justly, to be fair, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. For now, let us live in such a way that we bring honor to God's name, that we seek to carry out his work practically and eternally throughout our days. Let me close with a word of prayer. Father, you challenge us often with what we can do for you. And I pray as we look at the people around us, as the people we know and the people we don't, that we would be sensitive to your Spirit, that your Spirit would come upon us in such a way at times that we would know your will. Help us to reach out to others, be it friends or strangers, with aid and assistance, or even the eternal truth of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, amen.